overcast, 37 degrees. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg up next.
Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for the morning show also comes from Jack Andrea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Jack Andrea, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It is always great to welcome into our studios the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht, who is paying his monthly visit to the program. And October happens to be Manufacturing Month. And so that's going to be kind of the headline theme of today's program with a very special guest that we'll introduce in just a moment. But first, Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure to be here. I'm super excited about today's program. Manufacturing Month is extra special for us here at Gateway, but it's a national effort, so we know that communities all over the country are focusing on celebrating the great role that manufacturing plays in our economy.
Right, and maybe helping people rethink what manufacturing
Absolutely.
Is about and what it offers. Ahead of us getting into that conversation, I know you have a lot of things you want to tell us about, including a couple of trips you've been on as part of the American Technical Education Association, for which you serve as national president right now. What is this organization about?
Yeah, thank you. It's actually 90 years old, so it's been around for quite a while, and really focuses on community and technical college faculty development around technical careers. And of course, that's changed a lot over the last 90 years, as we've talked about in the program before, and technology changes the way that we deliver instruction, and the types of careers have changed drastically over the last couple of decades, and we know it will continue to evolve. So associations like ATEA, the American Technical Education Association, focus on professional development activities, linking colleges to their community to better understand the needs of industry. And for me, that fits right in, I'll call the sweet spot for us here at Gateway, because that's what we've been grounded on for the last 106 years. And so we have a little bit of past practice in that area, and we're proud to share it. Last week, I was over in Minnesota. We held our regional conference there and learned an awful lot. Had a chance to meet some great friends from Bobcat and trying to bring some more opportunities back to Gateway for training that they have. And I think we had 80, 85 college faculty together all going through professional development. And recently, I was in New Jersey doing something very similar. We explored industry partnerships. And each one of those activities are inspirational alone because we see the excitement that the teachers have, but also bring great rewards back to all of us here in our home community, because business partnerships are expanded. We learn some new best practices for our faculty. Our faculty have a chance to network with other instructors around the country, so we're able to share some of those experiences and ultimately create greater pathways for our students to be successful.
Fantastic. I suspect that when you're involved in these national organizations, it's on the one hand, you're learning things from other places, other schools, and at the same time, you have to be receiving such tremendous affirmation of the great stuff happening here. A lot of what happens here does not typically happen in other places.
It's pretty amazing. Everywhere I travel, and I do travel quite a bit around the country, people know about Gateway. They know the history that we have here, the great companies that support our college, and the unique partnerships that we have, whether it's with SC Johnson or Snap-on Tools, and they recognize the brand identity of those companies, and the fact that they're aligning their services with Gateway gives us a little extra brand identity along with it. And I give great credit to our staff. Our faculty are, you know, they lead the nation in the industry credentialing and the alignment of programming and developing pathways. We'll be in Washington in a couple of weeks actually celebrating the pathway work that Jamie Spatial has been doing for us in creating that linkage between industry and workplace skill training. And all of those pieces of the puzzle, I think, really helped to round out the value that Gateway plays to Southeast Wisconsin currently, especially in a state of change around advanced manufacturing and some of the new skills that we've talked about before, like healthcare with the human patient simulators. Mm-hmm. And each one of them are unique in the types of relationships that are developed, but across the country, without a doubt, I'm extremely proud of Gateway and the identity that we've created to help support young people.
I know another thing you want to tell us about is a big manufacturing expo that just occurred that involved Gateway out reaching out to area high school students. I know that's one of the most important of your themes.
Well, yeah, and actually, I'll just back up a little bit. So National Manufacturing Day is celebrated on October 6th. But in Wisconsin, we celebrate for the entire month because there are so many activities going on, including today's radio program is a celebration of Manufacturing Month for us here. And one of the events that we hosted, which was really inspirational, we do it every year, and it, in fact, multiple times during the year, we invite middle school and high school students to our campus. So this month, we invite them to the SC Johnson Integrated Manufacturing Campus, which makes a lot of sense, right? And showed them robotics and automation, 3D printing, computer numerical control, and really tried to inspire and educate students, hopefully the teachers that were there, counselors, as well as maybe celebrate the story with their families and parents as well to try to engage people around a broader conversation around kind of, I'll say, the coolness of manufacturing because it's not the same as what most people have seen. And not only do we encourage students to come, but any one of our community members, if you're ever interested in learning what manufacturing looks like today, we would welcome you back to Gateway.
Fantastic. Before we introduce our special guest, and this also folds very nicely into the theme, I have a feeling you have at least a little bit to say in terms of updates regarding the Foxconn situation, which has sort of solidified a little bit since the last time we talked, at least in terms of a more specific location where they intend to build this massive facility. Yes. What can you tell us about Gateway and Foxconn?
Well, I have to tell you, Greg, you know, every year Webster Dictionary creates kind of the new words of the year, and I think Foxconn is probably the new word of the year, at least for many of us here in Southeast Wisconsin. Not a day goes by where we're not talking about what we can do to help support this type of transformation and what types of services we offer that are going to help engage our community in providing opportunities for the types of jobs that Foxconn will be bringing to our region. So you're right. On October 6th, on National Manufacturing Day, Foxconn announced that they have selected the site in Mount Pleasant. I'm sure that many of our listeners have read about it and maybe even have taken a drive past to see what it all looks like. And we were fortunate at the SC Johnson IMET Center then to host one of their product displays so people could see some of the liquid crystal display technology and the 8K technology and how just really remarkable that science is that will produce consumer products. And we've learned an awful lot about the production facility that is proposed to be built here, but also about their commitment to the community, the array of different product lines that they support, medical, transportation, automotive, consumer electronics, a lot of variations in where we can help continue to grow opportunities for our community. Foxconn has begun the hiring process. In fact, we have a posting out right now through many different sources, but Indeed is their number one source for listing job opportunities. Gateway has specific target markets in the, I'll call it, mechatronics, advanced manufacturing field, and we're in the process right now of collecting resumes for students, and we'll be screening those and presenting those to Foxconn as they begin the initial build-out of assembly in the next couple of weeks. So we're very optimistic. We're very excited and proud to be a strategic partner for Foxconn, and we will do everything we can to make sure that the workforce of Southeast Wisconsin is prepared to deliver upon those skills.
Which will be no small feat, but Gateway, of course, is probably uniquely positioned to play a really important role in that.
Well, we've had some past practice, right?
Absolutely.
So you think about the 100-year history we have here. It was founded actually because of the need for manufacturing 100 years ago, a little different type of manufacturing at that time, more automotive, maybe assembly line, having folks understand the transition skills from an agriculture community into more of industrial society. And so, you know, machine tool, tool and die, which are still really strong programs for us today, those were the reasons Gateway was founded. So we're growing on that past history, and we're really excited about what the new skills and the new career opportunities with Industry 4.0 and the integration of the cyber and data world with the traditional physical world and robotics, automation, the types of things we know that are driving our economies today but maybe haven't been as visual for all of us, they're going to become very visual for all of us very soon.
Absolutely. For those of you just joining us, this is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And at long last, it's time for us to introduce the very special guest that you have brought on to the program. Tell us why Buckley Brinkman is here.
Well, I have been a friend of Buckley's and a fan, I will say, for close to 20 years already. He is a champion for the entire spectrum of manufacturing, but more importantly, how do we help people find their pathway in manufacturing and making sure that our economy is at the local level, state level, and his leadership at the national level to remind people of the importance of manufacturing and the impact that it has on the productivity of our state and of our nation. And he's just been a real strong advocate for what we represent in Wisconsin Technical Colleges. And this month, celebrating manufacturing, it was important that we picked a guest that could help demonstrate and display that comprehensive view of manufacturing and yet bring it back to why it's so important for all of us here in Southeast Wisconsin.
Can't think of a better guest. So Buckley Brinkman, CEO of Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing Productivity. It's great to have you here on the morning show.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you come from originally, and maybe at least sketch the pathway which takes you to where you are now and what you do now.
Sure. I grew up in Madison. I moved there when I was three, and the only choice I had from the time I was five was whether I was going to be in the band or whether I was going to be on the football team at UW-Madison. Of course, I did neither, but graduated from there, worked for Kohl's department stores for a couple of years, and then spent 29 years away from the state working in various manufacturing capabilities, mainly as a turnaround guy. So if your operation was in trouble, I would be the guy you'd call in to get it turned around and put back on its feet. And so now I'm really excited to be back in the home state, helping manufacturers here reach their full potential and stay competitive.
Can I just ask, as this person engaged in this really dicey matter of turnaround, which is so important, I mean, it sometimes is the difference between a company surviving or not. So did you have your own firm, which in a sense specialized in that? And what would that situation be like when you would get a call and have to step into a company that was in trouble for one reason or another? I mean, what are some of the interesting challenges involved in that?
Well, the interesting challenges are when you walk into an organization and people are really downtrodden and they feel like they see the shadow of death around every corner. And your first job in that situation is just to give everyone hope. Hmm. And what I found in those situations, two things are really important. One is that usually the people who are engaged, the people who are in the organization, have the answers. And your chief job is to ask really good questions to make sure that you get a focus on what's going to have the biggest impact the soonest. And the second, when you're in those turnaround situations, is just paying attention to cash flow. You know, how are we going to get money, and what do we really need to do to make sure that we're able to stay solvent? And that gets your mind really focused on what's important in an operation very quickly.
Well, and I think it speaks highly to the importance of continuous improvement. So, you know, organizations that are constantly looking inside themselves on how they can improve their operations, efficiencies, investments in new technology, upgrading of their employment skill base. We hear a lot about the skilled worker shortage, and a lot of that is because we haven't maybe allowed our employees to elevate the skill levels to meet the expectations of the products that are being developed. So I think it's really important, the work that you do and continue to do, to advocate for how do we become better as an organization if we're going to be able to be competitive on the external world.
So tell us the role, the mission of the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity. Can't think of a better organization to be talking about during Manufacturing Month. What is sort of the hallmark of what you do?
Sure. The WCMP is part of the National Manufacturing Extension Partnership Network. Every state has a center, so there are 51 of them in all. You know, we're really praying for our folks down in Puerto Rico at the center down there, as we try to get everybody back on their feet.
Right.
But what we are is really the expertise in your neighborhood, and we're able to go both ways. We're able to reach to national resources. We're part of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, so we can bring that technology out of the labs, out of different parts of the country, and really apply it to local companies. And then we're focused on Wisconsin. We're focused on the small and medium-sized manufacturers in Wisconsin. And just like the rest of the country, no manufacturer is more than a couple hours away from help and having really good expertise on the ground. I'm very proud. I mean, we've had more than $4 billion worth of impact for manufacturers that we've worked with. both in terms of helping their day-to-day operations and also helping them make sense of the Industry 4.0 and the technologies out there and the trends that are really going to affect their business in the coming weeks, months, and years.
Hmm. What kind of difference has the center made for a place like Gateway?
Well, yeah, I see it as an incubator. So I look at it as, you know, best practices around the country, bringing those to reality, working with companies, small, medium, large, to help not only create new systems of manufacturing, but bring and expose maybe small companies that haven't had a chance to see some of these national demonstration projects. But for education, the same thing. Hmm. So working with colleges and universities and thinking about training programs, partnering in those training programs to establish regional efforts so that we can leverage the resources of the state of Wisconsin in this case, but actually take advantage of the national work that's being done as well. So it helps to provide experiences for our faculty. It helps to shape the direction that manufacturing takes within a region, and it helps individual companies implement some of those best practices to stay efficient.
Hmm. And we're at a great advantage here in Wisconsin because of Gateway and the strong technical college system. A lot of my other centers have to focus a lot on workforce development. And boy, we just have that. I was listening to you before. We just do that better than anybody else in the country, and we should be really proud of that.
Mm. Yeah, I think so, too. It goes back to what we hear, you know, sometimes just about Gateway. The success of Gateway is not just because, you know, we've been here a long time and we have great staff, which we do, by the way, but it's because of the partnerships, right? You know, it's what Buckley's brings to the conversation. It's what Milwaukee 7 brings. It's what Kenosha Area Business Alliance or Racine County Economic Development Corporation. You can go down the entire list of all the great efforts that are taking place that all focus in and help to provide that idea center, that incubator, I call it.
Right, and people working together, organizations Correct. Working together, not just each existing in their own silo
right.
trying to do this, but building off of each other's efforts, so important. Buckley Brinkman, why don't you give us a kind of a historic long view, if you would, about the proud history of manufacturing here in the state of Wisconsin, which probably a lot of people, maybe even in Wisconsin, if that's not part of your own life, might not even have all that deep an awareness of.
I think it's emblematic of the importance of manufacturing that's actually on the state flag. And if you look in the seal, you see an emblem there for manufacturing, and it's interesting how it evolved. You know, when Père Marquette landed here and started looking at furs and the natural resources of the state, we became a great extractive state, whether it was animal furs or minerals. In fact, you know, the name the Badger State came from the lead miners who were living in the caves, not from, you know, the furry animals that run around in the woods. So our start was really in that area, in just natural resources and being able to pull the resources out of the ground. And then taking our European roots and our historical artisan roots, and our desire to make things, you know, we took advantage of all of the mechanization and the ability to apply the current technology, and actually became the machine shop of the world.
Hmm.
You know, for a long time, when you said Milwaukee, when you said Wisconsin, that was the place you got your tools from. And we've evolved since then. I mean, it's one thing about Wisconsin, we're constantly changing. We're constantly looking to the future. I mean, forward's the motto, and we tend to live it, right?
Absolutely.
And now with food, and I think what we're going to see now is we're going to be one of the leading states on the edge of Industry 4.0 as we start moving into that cyber world. So it's an exciting time to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you have a big scope, there are regions of the state that are more heavily concentrated in manufacturing, like Southeast Wisconsin, where 25% of our, you know, economic value is driven through manufacturing. And so we know that it's important to our region, but it's important to the entire state, because really, without manufacturing, without building things, making things, and fixing things, our economy would be a lot weaker. And so the important aspect of manufacturing helps to drive an economic base for our region.
And there's manufacturing in 71 of the 72 counties.
Right.
So it touches everybody.
Everybody. Wow. Mm-hmm.
One thing, of course, we hear a great deal about, and that this has been over the course of the last several decades, is the sense that the scope of manufacturing in the American economy overall has receded just a bit with the the sort of the rise of manufacturing in other parts of the world and so on. And the banner headlines have tended to be about manufacturing in the United States losing ground, and in particular when it comes to just jobs themselves, manufacturing jobs, that they do not exist in the numbers that they once did. Help us understand, as someone who's right in the middle of that, first of all, have I described it accurately, or to some extent has some of that been maybe over-dramatized or overemphasized or exaggerated for one reason or another? Just how much of that has there been, and are we seeing sort of a step in the other direction now?
Yeah. Well, Greg, I think what happens a lot of times is we look backwards and we try to measure manufacturing activities by old standards. Mm. You know, that was really brought home to me when I was in Detroit last summer, standing in the middle of the old River Rouge plant for Ford, where literally iron ore came in one end and Model A's came out the other end. It was totally integrated. Yeah. Well, if we measured manufacturing by that standard, yeah, we aren't there anymore. And I think right now when you're measuring manufacturing by the number of jobs involved, I think it's a misleading measure right now, especially when the Wisconsin workforce is projected to be flat for the next 20 years. If we're measuring the health of manufacturing by how many more jobs we have in here, we're going to miss the point. Because the real point here is how well we're producing and how much we're getting out of the system. And right now, we produce the same value of goods with 25% less labor. Now, that may sound like a bad thing because you think less jobs, but what it really is, we're more competitive, we're able to pay higher wages, and overall, we're able to support more growth elsewhere in the economy. So I think it's a little bit overstated when you say, you know, manufacturing is done. But what we are seeing is a bifurcation. We're seeing the manufacturers that are looking forward and saying, all right, how do I engage my employees? How do I use new technology? How do I find those techniques that are going to take me into the future and make me more competitive? And then there are those that are saying, oh, well, you know, I've done it this way for 30 years and I've been successful. And slowly but surely, we're seeing those folks getting left behind and really being put in danger.
And I think also that, you know, if you look at the types of industries and the type of manufacturing that's taking place, so even in our own region here, you see a much more diverse manufacturing sector than you might have seen 20, 30, 40 years ago. And so, you know, those types of opportunities still exist, but it's a different type of manufacturing setting, different type of environment, maybe different skills that are necessary for it. So you lose sight of what is defined as manufacturing in your mind based on what you might have seen or experienced in before and really haven't been exposed to other levels of manufacturing or other types of manufacturing.
Right. If all you know about that world is gigantic car plants,
right,
then yes, it's the news is not all that positive. But if you have a more all-inclusive idea of what manufacturing is and can be, then it's a much more positive picture. That actually, this might be a great moment to actually kind of talk about, and maybe both of you can help in this, in helping us understand what are we talking about when we use the term manufacturing? Does that mean making stuff? And if so, what kind of stuff? I mean, are there particular things that need to be in place for us to be really talking about manufacturing? And then right off of that, we can talk about the skills that are involved in the manufacturing jobs of today versus yesterday.
Absolutely.
But first, that term of manufacturing, what are we really talking about here?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that I want to just reflect in it. I'd love to hear Buckley's response to the question as well, because oftentimes when we say the word manufacturing, people are thinking about you're producing a product. So somewhere down an assembly line, there is a product that's produced, and that's manufacturing. But manufacturing is an ecosystem. So, you know, there are marketing positions, there's accounting positions, there's IT positions, there's all kinds of different job sectors that make up the word manufacturing. The fact that it's all geared toward a point of interest, a product, and that product can be very diverse in its applications, changes the way that we think about how skill sets are developed to make that happen. So as an example, we say welding is a skill set in manufacturing. Well, it is, but welding has a lot of different perspectives as well. So you can be welding in a water industry where you're fusing plastic piping together. You can be welding on a ship in Marinette, and you're doing underwater welding with all types of different materials. You can be doing stainless steel welding for the food processing industry. So they're all part of a bigger ecosystem of manufacturing, but the skills are different based on the applied technology. And at colleges like Gateway and others, we've got to continue to think about all of those different aspects of, in this case, manufacturing or healthcare or IT, and be able to diversify the types of training programs that students are participating in so that they're ready for that diverse career path that awaits them. It's not just about welding metal together to make the frame of a car, as you mentioned. Mm. There's so many different aspects of work that can be done.
I think that's so right, and I think what's really important, what I've always admired about Gateway, is how you're anticipating the next set of skills that's needed, because what we're going to see with Industry 4.0, at least coming into manufacturing, is it's really going to impact manufacturers in three different areas. One is with additive manufacturing, 3D printing. What we don't have right now is a good library of the properties of the final product. Once we get that, that'll start to take off. So imagine anyone, literally anyone, anywhere being able to be a manufacturer. I mean, they're printing parts on the space station right now. The second part is with automation. And the price of robotics has just plummeted. What 7 years ago you used to spend $250,000 for the robot and $250,000 for the safety cages to make sure that nobody ever got close to the robot. Now you can buy for $35,000, $40,000, $50,000, and you don't need the safety. In fact, you want the worker working right next door to them. And that's going to be important, because every time we've introduced automation or introduced robotics, jobs have not gone away. Jobs have actually increased. So the question is not, what are we going to do with these people? The question is, how are we going to redeploy them in our organization and train them to the next level, to your point, the changing skills. And then the third level is just this idea of connected devices, the Internet of Things. And it's changing whole markets on how people compete and how employees engage. Now it used to be, when I was running the paper mill, if I wanted to see what was going on, if I did the high-tech version, I found a high hill in Lafayette and looked to see if there was any steam coming off the paper machine. Well, now, somebody's done doing their email and watching the evening news, and they say, oh, how's the plant doing? And they can pull up their iPad in about 30 seconds, figure out what's going on. I think the infusion of those things is just going to change the nature of work and going to make the fact that we're going to have to go back and keep retooling all that much more important.
You're so right. I mean, it's a great explanation there, Buckley, because it points to the fact that what we're teaching today is still very important and relevant, because many of our industry partners are at different levels of manufacturing. But the trend line going forward, and what we're looking at here at Gateway, just to kind of reemphasize what you said, data analytics. So we will have IT programs embedded into our manufacturing programs, because those robots and those CNC machines have sensors on them that are collecting information about that particular product and the life cycle of that machine. And they can do predictive analytics to tell you when a bearing is starting to wear out on a robot, and it can self-correct itself, that way. So it's amazing that, and, we look at all the different types of sensing technologies, the connection, the Internet of Things, and how machines interact with each other, and then the human responsibility to be able to assess that and to make predictive decisions, and making sure that as a manufacturer, I may be really skilled in repairing robots, but if I don't understand how to read the data and interpret the data, I still might not be effective in repairing the robot. So there are so many different aspects to what manufacturing represents today.
Right. And so, in a sense, you've just given us a partial list of the kind of skills that Gateway teaches in its manufacturing programs.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to see a broad array of new programming, just because Foxconn is pushing our vision further into the future. And I was fortunate to have a chance to go over and visit their display factory in Japan, and it is absolutely remarkable. Very clean, very high tech, very safe working environments, massive scale on those environments, and they're producing liquid crystal display technology. So that's embedded electronics into glass, purified glass that is so amazing that you can see a 3D into the glass without any 3D glasses on. It's that good. And that's the beginning of the medical imaging technology, the automotive technology, the aviation and aerospace industry, and yes, consumer electronics, so we will all be able to watch our Packer games in better view. But the reality is those are types of technologies that will change the way that we live. And if Gateway can provide the skill sets for employees to have an impact on the medical industry or the aviation industry, the way we transport, it'll enhance our community in so many ways.
For those of you just joining us, we have Brian Albrecht with us, the president of Gateway Technical College. This is his monthly visit to our program. And with him today is Buckley Brinkman, CEO of the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity. What has prompted this particular conversation is the fact that October is Manufacturing Month. So I'm curious to hear from both of you what you know about the background of Manufacturing Month, how long something like this has been celebrated, and how each of you, in a sense, are celebrating it aside from the party hats.
Yeah. Well, I'm very proud of Manufacturing Month because it started in 2012, and it started along two different paths. The national MEP was approached by a couple of associations and said, hey, we have an idea that we want to make a manufacturing day like there's a steelmaker's day or a cupcake day. And three or four of us said, yeah, we'll try that. And we came back to Wisconsin, and about the same time the WMC was looking at, so how do we make Manufacturing Month? So we joined forces and really engaged across a broad variety of platforms to show how manufacturing is important to the state, but also to show people that this isn't the dumb, dirty, dangerous manufacturing that, you know, you see in the 1950 movies. This is really a different kind of manufacturing. It's something that's really pushing the frontiers of the future. And so now it's taken on a life of its own. We did such a good job here that that now there are activities in all 50 states, and we are one of a handful of states that just can't do it all in one day. We have to spread it over the course of the whole month. And I can see from the smile on your face you're having as much fun with this as I am.
Well, it's an important topic to talk about within our community, especially states like Wisconsin that are heavily focused on manufacturing. And, you know, the National Association for Manufacturers is behind this effort. The Manufacturing Institute is behind the effort. There are organizations like STEM Connector who launched the Day of Design to support manufacturing. Mm. And we celebrate the concept of manufacturing, but it really gives us a chance to expose our community to the world that surrounds them. Because if you drive through any of our communities, you said most of our counties are based in the focus on manufacturing. You see those companies, but you might not know really the impact that they have financially. I think Governor Walker just tweeted out recently a $56 billion impact for our state alone. I mean, these are huge numbers, huge opportunity, and if we don't pay attention to it, it slips away. So right. This is an idea right. About let's pay attention to it and see if we can help people find a greater opportunity through manufacturing.
And I think what we do here really well is the broad diversity of events that we have. Sure, we have a bunch of factory tours, but you know, there's been events at all of the technical college campuses. We had Mike Rowe here earlier in the month talking about, you know, what does the future look like for students. We had a women in manufacturing event exploring, you know, the roles that women should be playing with modern manufacturing. We just announced the coolest thing made in Wisconsin, which was a lot of fun. Saturday with the Bucks, we're doing aerospace jam to get more people introduced into the aerospace cluster, and then, you know, we'll finish off up in Green Bay with manufacturing first. So a lot of things going on that really bring people together around manufacturing and how important it is.
You're right. Great celebration. And it's something that every community can participate in because they have, connections to it. Schools especially, because it is something that we know is happening in our community, but the way schools are traditionally designed, sometimes it's hard to connect science and technology with a technology ed course or something. So this helps to drive the conversation with teachers to talk about STEM and the relationship that academic paths have, and we get to showcase it. And so all the technical colleges and the universities are all behind this, and lots of events going on, and we have a mobile truck that's now going out to our schools this month, you know, helping kids see some of the technology. And as I mentioned earlier, a couple of the great events that we've held on campus through our partnerships with Workforce Development and the Economic Development Organizations, and of course our great industries who open their doors and allow the tours and bring some of their shiny toys to our campus to show people what manufacturing is all about.
Speaking of driving conversations, Buckley Brinkman, of course, the announcement about Foxconn has driven the conversation certainly throughout the state and on a national level in a kind of a new direction in terms of thinking about manufacturing and manufacturing on this kind of scale. What kind of interesting questions do you see raised by Foxconn?
Well, I get really excited about this beyond the number of jobs that are going to be created, just the economic impact. You know, this is an area of manufacturing that we forfeited 3 decades ago. And we didn't think that this was ever coming back. And to think that it would come back to the United States, first of all, is amazing. And then to think that's coming back here to Wisconsin is unbelievable. It's phenomenal. So we're going to be leading the pack in terms of the technology and in terms of the approaches to manufacturing that are being used in this new plant. So it's a, you know, it's a little bit of a blessing and a curse. You know, mm-hmm. The blessing is we'll be exposed to this. The curse is we'll be shown what we need to do to really get up the curve and be world class in the competitive area. I think the other thing is all of these forces of Industry 4.0 are coming. They were coming no matter what you do. And one of the concerns that I continually have is that manufacturers just don't pay attention to how much their world is changing. And it's going to be accentuated by, you know, Industry 4.0. It's also going to be accentuated by the skills gap turning into a body gap where we just don't have enough people. So if you're sitting there and waiting for this to show up at your front door, it's already there. It just looks like a skills gap because there's nobody out there. So I think the big thing is what I'm hoping is that the speed and the intensity of a Foxconn will really have a regenerative impact on the whole manufacturing ecosystem in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think as we mentioned about celebrating Manufacturing Day, it is heightened the awareness about the importance of manufacturing and the types of skills, skilled worker shortage, all the things that you hit on that are currently taking place in our community. And the types of training programs that I mentioned earlier and those that we have been doing for many years, like robotics, we've always done that, programmable logical controllers, PLCs, that's our CNC machining program. So we've had pieces of this puzzle going on, and maybe in some cases we fell into the trap of being complacent around, okay, there's a certain set of courses you must take, and we haven't integrated those courses enough. This is driving a different level of conversation, both at the two-year and four-year programming. So two-year programs closer integrated with four-year engineering and science programs, academic occupational programs being more closely integrated here at Gateway, and then adding different types of skills, like we mentioned earlier, IT or cybersecurity in with manufacturing production facilities, all based on technology revolutions, right? Additive manufacturing is a new way to produce products, and robotics are a new way to create assembly line experiences. And so it's fun. It's exciting and fun at the same time.
And I think what's interesting is, you know, from my perspective anyway, Foxconn and that circle of companies that are dealing with Foxconn are going to get their workers, are going to get the skills that they need because of focus of yeah. folks like you. Where I'm really concerned are the folks that are in that next tier who are saying, okay, you know, we'll just muddle through and figure out how we can recruit a little better or reach out to the schools a little better or
Absolutely.
Train a little better when this is really going to be a revolution.
Well, I think you hit on something there. So we talk a lot about the company Foxconn, but really the, you know, sort of the whole ecosystem of all of the supply chain and then the existing legacy great companies that we have here. As we upskill, and I call it smart technicians, so we all like smartphones and we like smart grids and we like that, but to do all of that work, you have to have smart technicians. That will elevate the knowledge and skills of all student graduates that will be going into a variety of different companies that will hopefully advance their production in many new ways and create greater efficiencies and keep all companies more competitive as a result. When we try to describe Industry 4.0, some people ask, well, I didn't know there was Industry 3.0 or an Industry 2.0. Well, there was. We just didn't call them that at the time. But Industry 4.0 really drives this integration of systems, and we will see more of that physically at Gateway. But more importantly, you'll see it programmatically. So whether it's short-term customized training or whether it's long-term degree programs, there's going to be a much more robust effort on the integration of skills. Hmm.
Buckley Brinkman, what do you hear from other parts of the country when it comes to this skilled worker shortage that we've been talking about? It seems like, at least in some places, it's an incredibly acute, serious situation. Is it?
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, what I get really excited about is when I travel around and I see what a good job we've done here.
Mm. I mean, Wisconsin,
you mean? In Wisconsin, yes. I mean, we've sometime along the way here in the last 5 years or so, I think all of us have looked at each other and said, this is much too big of a problem for any one of us to solve by ourselves. And we've put together the partnerships and the alignments and the alliances that we need to really be successful. Now, there's a lot more work to do. It's critical to the entire picture, and we're two or three steps ahead of other folks. I think there's a couple things here that are really interesting. I think the getting younger people into programs around manufacturing is critical. I think what's really interesting now, and maybe some of the cause of some of the unrest we've seen over the last couple of years, is folks, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old who haven't retooled themselves and now need to try to find those skills and step up to the plate and say, hey, where is there a place for me in this world? I mean, there are 6.3 million positions that are open nationwide. And I guess one of the quotes I liked best from Mike Rowe the other night was, he said, look, we've got $1.2 trillion in student debt. We're pushing everyone to a four-year college as the answer, and we've got 6.3 million positions open. So let me get this straight. We're spending money we don't have, training students for jobs that don't exist, while 6.3 million jobs go empty. How does that make sense? And it's just it's an interesting dilemma we face, because the numbers haven't changed. That it's, you know, when I graduated from high school several decades ago, you know, it was you had to get a college degree to get ahead, because that was going to be the new high school diploma. Well, something weird happened in the past 40 years. The numbers haven't changed. It's a third, a third, a third. A third require a high school diploma or less. A third require a four-year degree or more. And the middle third requires something more than high school, but not a four-year degree. Those things haven't changed. The one thing that has changed is that middle group, more technical, and the folks with the jobs with just a high school diploma or less are probably not family-supporting jobs anymore. The era of, you know, a strong back and a good alarm clock to raise your family is not is not viable anymore.
Yeah. Right. And then I think community and technical colleges have served as sort of the opportunity college for the middle class, right? So we're 100 years old. The United States kind of founded the community college environment. Other countries around the world now are replicating kind of the two-year model. They're closely aligned with industry, which helps to keep them relevant. They're designed to help create occupational skills so that students going through those programs can be ready for the jobs that are out there. And now, recently, in the last couple of decades, building that transition point so that it's not an ending point. It's still up along that journey of lifelong learning. So you can go to Carthage, you can go to Parkside, you can go to UW-Madison, but you can start at your home community. And if we do it wisely, in partnership with the local industry, they can help support the cost of your advanced education because it's directly aligned with the job you're going to be performing, as opposed to, let's go take a chance and get a diploma and then see where it fits, right?
Right.
Make the
fit
happen earlier.
Exactly.
Right.
So Buckley Brinkman, for instance, somebody who's thinking about their own life ahead, or more likely with a program like this, somebody who's a parent, thinking about the future of their children, what would you say to them in terms of thinking about the manufacturing sector perhaps being an attractive choice for their son or daughter? And the answer probably should include at least a nod towards important things like, what are their wages likely to be? What are their opportunities for advancement likely to be? What would you say to a parent thinking about these kind of questions?
Well, I think for most parents, the concern is, you know, are you going to have a good citizen when you're done? You know, someone who's able to be a viable part of the community, raise a family, be able to have a reasonable standard of living, and also have something that's constantly challenging you and interesting the rest of your life. Mm. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was 18, I'm not so sure I made a lot of really good choices. So I think one of the things that's really important at that age is just to keep the doors open. There are very few doors that you have to shut at age 18. I think, you know, being from a four-year snob family, you know, and being reconverted, I think the idea is that what you want to do is make sure that the options are open. And now with the average student debt out of the university system being $29,000, and a lot of times not ending up in that job that you thought you were going to end up in, it's important to consider other pathways. And I think for a long time, at least when I was growing up, the people who went to technical college were the people who couldn't cut it anywhere else. We didn't have anywhere else for them to go. Let's send them to Bryan. Well, that's not the case anymore. And it's not the case anymore in manufacturing. We need the best and the brightest. You know, 2/3 of all R&D dollars are spent in manufacturing. You know, and I get my hair up a little bit when people start talking about, well, we want to go to a high-tech economy. Well, I got news for you. Manufacturing is a high-tech economy. Mm. It always has been. You know, where we're engaging that technology and we're making things with the technology that other people discover. So if you're a parent and you're looking for what to do for your kid, you know, put them in a place where they can experience a lot of different opportunities. If they go out and they find out that they like manufacturing or they're slightly off in the particular part of manufacturing they've chosen, they can adjust. And if they're a good employee, there are very few manufacturers that I know in this state right now that can afford to say, Brian, I think you need to just leave and go back to college. No, they're going to be saying, hey, Brian, let's figure out how we can get you through here. So now all of a sudden, instead of having that $29,000 in debt, you have no debt. You probably have a few toys. You probably have enough money to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And, you know, you're making a decent wage and having fun while you're doing
it. Well, you touched on something else that I wanted to ask briefly. We're almost out of time. But the fact that this is also work that probably does not involve the tedium that I think once upon a time was associated with having a job in manufacturing, where you stood in one place and you screwed on the same bolt on hundreds of vehicles or whatever that were coming through. That's not what we're talking about, or not only that.
Right. I mean, it's hard work. It's a challenge. But it's also you're creating the future as well. Mm. You know, so if you're working for the right company, they're the folks who are engaging all of their employees and actually allowing them to have an impact. Because not only, I mean, you could look at it either way. Either the employer is really altruistic and wants to see you reach your full potential, or, you know, they're really capitalistic because they know they'll make more money if they get everybody's good ideas working together. Mm. Either way, you end up in the same place, which is that you get to be part of a really productive team and you get to do really cool things. And that's what's fun about manufacturing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you gauge it by different levels. And we try to celebrate Manufacturing Month to expose students to all those different career paths and how they connect in a broader world for themselves, improve their lives and their future career opportunities. And I can only reflect on just one simple story. I love our daughter very much, and when she went off to one of our great colleges here, got a degree in engineering, and she was set that she wasn't going to be in manufacturing. And so today, as an engineer, she's working for one of the largest manufacturing companies in the world.
Wow.
She travels all over the world at a very young age to do that. So manufacturing is a part of our lifestyle. We all appreciate the services and products that it produces, and ultimately you can probably connect your own job back to manufacturing in some way.
In some way or not, absolutely. It's an incredible world and a new world, and exciting with all kinds of opportunities. Well, this has been an exciting conversation as well. We thank you, Buckley Brinkman, CEO of Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity, for coming today and for sharing the exciting story of manufacturing in Wisconsin during this Manufacturing Month, this month-long celebration. And we thank you for being part of the morning show today. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you, and happy Manufacturing Month.
and many thanks to you, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Greg Reberg. Tomorrow on the morning show, a couple of different interviews, including one with Isabella Rivero Villa, who is on the Modern Languages faculty at Carthage College and the primary organizer of a French film series that is currently screening at Carthage College. We will talk about some of the French films that are going to be available to the public. The interviews on Friday will include one with Sammy Chittum, author of the Flight 981 disaster, Tragedy, Treachery, and the Pursuit of Truth. It looks at the somewhat controversial history of the DC-10 and some of the plane crashes and other flight incidents that